All right, welcome everybody. On a Wednesday this week, Trash Talk with Tony Browski is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, I've got my whole crew back together once again. Eli Bashy, Mike Bilica, Jay Horn, Grant Richards, and Talasawa are all here with me today. Gentlemen, good to have you all back. Let's get started, and let's begin, as always, with the introductions. Now, I want to do something a little different for the intros this week. Usually, I ask you, how's it going? I ask Grant how the sports bets are. We're still going to do that, but also in your introductions, you know we got to talk about the season opener that the Trash Talk crew was at last week. So, along with me asking you, how's everything going? I'll ask Grant how sports betting is. Along with all that, I'll ask you how much fun you had at the season opener on Wednesday last week. Maybe even give me your favorite moment from the night. Why not? So let's have some fun with that. Let's get right into it. Starting with Eli Bashy, as always. Hi, Eli. How are you today? How's school and work going? And talk about how much fun you had on last Wednesday for the season opener.
I'm doing good, Tony. You know, school's going all right. This week is exam week. Having a lot of exams this week. All my classes scheduled their second exams at the same time, which is great.
It's like midterms, or?
No, it's just like you know how like 5 weeks after, you know, classes start, they'll all have their exams at the same time?
Oh,
well,
that...
now it's like 4 weeks later or something.
Oh,
so
no.
They're all having exams at the same time again. It's really convenient. Work's going well. It's very time-consuming, though. But, you know, that's just how it is. I'm a hard-working man out here these days. But last Wednesday was great. And hopefully next time I go, it'll be just as good, if not better.
What was your favorite moment from the night last week?
Just getting back to yelling, having a near-capacity crowd was pretty nice, too.
The crowd was
good to see people back.
Yeah, it was a nice crowd.
Yeah, apparently it was a sellout, which I was, you know, pretty good to see because No Cade, I didn't think it would be a sellout, but supposedly it was a sellout.
Yeah.
So that's good, and hopefully when Cade comes back Saturday, please, you know, hopefully people will show up for that.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be there again outside of Mike. Yeah, we're going to be there again Saturday night. Me and Jay actually just got back from the mall, and we got some nice fits for the game on Saturday night. That's all we'll say. Right, Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a blast. But Eli, good to have you back as always. Let's move on to Mike Bilica. How are you today, Mike? And how much fun did you have last week of the season opener? Favorite moment, too.
We're doing good. I had a great time. Always a great time at LCA. Can't complain. Yeah. My favorite part of it was easily having a full capacity crowd. Mm. It was loud. I just sat there and drank it in because it's been so long, and I just enjoyed it. It was fun. It was a great time.
Seeing the crowd as alive as it was for this Pistons team without Cade Cunningham playing, yeah, it was a blast. I had a ton of fun as well, and I loved seeing how rocking the crowd was throughout the entire game. You know, the crowd was into it for pretty much the entire night, and that was good to see as well. All right, let's move on to Jay Horn now. Hi, Jay. How are you? How's everything going? And how much fun did you have last week at the season opener? I know you had a great time.
Oh. Things are going good, just watching these games, making sure my parlays hit. What's my favorite memory from last week? Just people knowing who I was, that was fun.
People came up and recognized Jay, according to him, because I wasn't there with him. People apparently came up to Jay and recognized him from Trash Talk, which warmed my heart.
Yeah, that was fun, and just, you know, being... Sorry, had a moment watching the game. It was fun, though. It was fun getting back there. Chicken tenders were, like, the best thing ever.
That's Tyler.
The reason why. That's my reason right there. I had some last night, too, the J. Cole concert, and I was just impressed.
Out of 10, what would you give the LCA chicken tenders?
Oh, a 10, 10, 12, anything. They're, like, perfect.
Tyler, what about you?
So I have a confession. I didn't get the chicken tenders
on Wednesday night.
Oh. But very good reason why I didn't get the chicken tenders.
He tried sausage house.
I got sausage house, yes. Very good sausages.
Is it sausage house?
Is it house? I thought it was sausage house.
I thought it was
house.
Oh,
house, right? It's for sure like house.
It looks
H-A-U-S.
Like
H-A-U-S. Isn't
no, it's house. It's house.
Yeah, it's pronounced house though.
Bad, dude. It's H-A-U-S.
Yeah, but it's spelled like house, but it's for sure house.
Yeah. That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what would you give sausage house on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Unshameful plug. I can't even think what I'm trying to think. I gave it on
shameless,
my
shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
Unshameless.
I'm like, I can't even speak right now. I gave it on my food page a 7.9. Grubbing Keldos. Check it out.
Oh yes, yes. Oh, I love it. Going back to Jay, people love the fit on Wednesday nights, and now. Oh, wait until they see Saturday night. I hope Cade plays that game because our fits, I'm not going to leak anything. You'll find out on Saturday night, but our fits are going to look really good if that's Cade's debut. That's all I'm going to say. Right, Jay?
Hashtag Cade plays October 30th.
Ooh!
You're hearing it here. Hearing it first. Trash talk.
There you go. Wednesday. Jay's calling it. Jay's calling his shot. All right. Let's move into Tyler now. Hi, Tyler. How are you doing? How much fun did you have at the game last Wednesday? And favorite memory, too, if you haven't already discussed it. Maybe it's Sausage House. I don't know.
Sausage House was a good time. I wouldn't say it was my favorite thing, but, you know, it was good to finally try, you know, the iconic Sausage House. It was well worth the wait, so I was very excited to try that. I would say my favorite part of the game was honestly before the game, and not Sausage House again, it was meeting up with Pistons Twitter, the Johnny Kane.
That was so good. I'm glad someone mentioned it.
Doing the whole Bally Sports segment, I mean, I thought that was just, you know, really awesome, and because obviously, you know, last year, just, you know, fans were not allowed at games for most of the season. And when they were at the end of the year, it was only like, what, 20-25%. So it was just cool to see a full house again and, you know, meet up with the Pistons fans on Pistons Twitter. And, you know, I thought that was just a cool moment. And shout out to Johnny Kane for, you know, putting us on TV
and interviewing you specifically.
So that was a very cool moment. And just a cool way to start the season. So that'd probably be my favorite moment. Obviously sucks we lost the game, but it's a good time regardless.
It's whatever. But yeah, the Pistons Twitter meetup was awesome. Everything that Johnny said on TV was 100% accurate. He tweeted that he wanted to get something going, and I texted him right afterwards. I'm like, tell me when and where, and I'll do my thing. Sure enough. Oh, yeah, shout out to Johnny, man. That was the best handshake of my entire life. I just got to say that. That was the best handshake of my life. Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah, shout out to Johnny. Shout out to Pistons Twitter and everyone that came through that night and said hello to me and the crew. That was probably my favorite moment of the entire night, too. I met so many people at that season opener. I met so many people. It was such a great time. So many people coming up to me and asking for pictures. Oh, it was great. Oh, that was so much fun. I agree with Tyler. That was probably my favorite moment from last Wednesday's season opener. It was also good for me to be back at LCA, too. That was my first time back since me and Tyler went to the Wings game, like, the Sunday before March 11th when everything got crazy. You know, so it was a minute since I was at LCA for a game, let alone a Pistons or a Wings game.
Which was a great Wings game too. We beat the Lightning.
Yeah, yes. Eli, what's your thoughts on the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Oh, I hate them. Oh, I wish nothing but bad for them. I hope their whole entire franchise rots. They just melt to the ground. Never win anything ever again. Never win another game.
Eli's been a Wings fan for 2 minutes and he already hates the Lightning. That's my boy. Yes, sir. Okay. Last but not least, Grant Richards. How are you today, Grant? Mike, as always.
How's the sports betting?
And give me your favorite moment or memory from last Wednesday's season opener and how much fun you had at the game. I know you had a great time. if you remember it.
Well, we'll get into that. I'm doing well. I had a great weekend of watching sports. Sports betting was the worst it has ever been. I was down astronomically, threw together a little 4-team NBA or NFL parlay on Sunday, hit big. We are back up. Another winning week. Hit another one last night. Just had to flex on that one.
NBA, so, not sports... NFL.
Yeah, sorry, sorry. Yes, that was an NBA last night, so I'm surprising myself. And I got a couple memories that I really just wanted to get out there. Number one was yelling at Caruso and DeRozan. That never gets old. I there's certain drinks they serve at Pistons games that make me want to yell at players, and I indulged. That being said, another favorite moment was the Meyer horse, that little electronic horse you usually see outside Meyer for a penny. I hit the button and it just started rocking. So naturally, I hopped on. No, I mean, I think my last moment I want to bring up was the 30 seconds we thought the Pistons covered.
Oh, so, why'd you have to bring that up?
I had to
that
bring
was the
it
greatest
up.
30 seconds.
That would no, it wasn't. That was awful.
A backdoor cover. Those 30 seconds were great. So Tony and I put in just a Pistons plus 5.5 bet right before tip. And as you know, that basket at the end of the game was in fact waved off. So the Pistons did not cover. But for there was a moment they put it on the scoreboard where we were just like, yes, we did it. And people are probably looking at us like, why are they celebrating that the Pistons lost?
Hey, if we were better, we were screaming loud enough, they would have been able to hear us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was a great time just being back full capacity. I mean, I've been to some Tiger games, but it wasn't really full at the time. So this was like my first full capacity game back. Hey, I didn't say it was bad. I just said it wasn't full. It was probably like 75%. Like it was, I mean, it was right before Miggy hit his home run or hit 500. So there was a lot of people there. But with that being said, Tony, how was your sports betting?
You know, outside of the fact that the Pistons did not cover on Wednesday night, it was another winning week for me. That's three straight winning weeks and four out of the last five. We're on fire right now. We are on fire. I can't complain. Now, if anyone's listening and they might not understand sports betting, let me just quickly explain everything that went on at the end of the game last week. So yeah, me and Grant, like he said, we took Pistons 5.5 right before tip off, which means the Pistons either had to win or lose by less than 6. Okay. That last second basket from the Pistons in garbage time, that would have made the final score 94-90, which means the Pistons lose by 4 and me and Grant win money. That basket got waved off after we celebrated and the Pistons lost by 6, which means we didn't win our money because, again, the Pistons had to lose by less than 6. They lost by 6 exactly, so we we lost the bet. But other than that, I mean, it was a nice sports betting week. I can't complain. Oh, goodness. It was a great time, though. Like I said, it was good to be back inside LCA. I was rocking the K jersey for the first time. There were a lot of K jerseys there too, which that just goes to show you the impact Cade already has on this team. And yeah, it was a great time. It was a very, very fun time. Like I said earlier, we'll be back on Saturday night against the Magic. I know Eli's excited because he gets to see his boy Franz Wagner, right?
Oh, man. You want me to just take everything I said about the Tampa Bay Lightning and replace Franz Wagner with it?
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Oh, goodness. All right, gentlemen, let's get into the show this week. We are going to talk a little Pistons, and I think we should just start off the show with that since we're already kind of on a Pistons topic rather than bouncing from Pistons to Michigan State and then back to Pistons. So we'll start with the Pistons momentarily here, talk about the first three games of the season, talk about how much we miss Cade Cunningham, because I'm pretty sure I've mentioned in every single post-game video that I've made already that I miss Cade, which is the truth. But we'll start with Pistons here. And then to close out the show, we'll do a little Michigan State talk as it is now Michigan State week. Number 6 Michigan, number 8 Michigan State, 7-0 versus 7-0. Oh, that's going to be an exciting game on Saturday. But before we talk about that, let's talk about the Pistons and what we have seen from them in the first three games of the season. It's been a little tough to watch, I'll say. And, you know, they haven't had Cade, obviously. And Monday night against the Hawks, they didn't have Jeremy Grant either. It's understandable, but, like, I think these first three games have kind of shown us, even without Cade and Jeremy, I think they've shown us that the Pistons still might be a year away from really doing damage. I don't think that's too crazy of a take to say right now, three games in. I mean, outside of Sadiq Bey, who has been playing incredibly well to start the season, I can't think of anyone else who has really shined. Like, Kelly Olynyk has had moments. Josh Jackson has had moments. Hamidou has had moments. But other than that, Beef Stew has had moments too. But other than them, I can't really think of anybody. I can't think of anybody. It's been that bad to start the season. But hopefully we get Cade back this weekend. I would hope on Saturday. That would be nice if we could see Cade's first game at Little Caesars Arena against the Magic with us in attendance. But, you know, when Cade comes back, it'll be a lot more watchable for sure. But as of right now, yeah, I kind of feel like these first three games have shown us the Pistons might still be a year away, which is okay. It's perfectly okay. And at the same time, too, I mean, the Pistons, they got a pretty brutal schedule to start the year. I mean, in just their first three games, faced the Bulls twice, who the Bulls obviously have a nice roster now, and the Hawks just went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And after this, we got teams like Philly, Brooklyn, and just so many other tough opponents coming up, you know? So, yeah, it hasn't been a fun watch so far, but there have been some encouraging players to watch in these games, though. I mean, mainly, I would say Sadiq Bey. He has looked like a completely different player in these first three games of the season than he did last year, and he looks like a better overall player, especially offensively. That's very, very nice to see. Now, hopefully others can step up outside of Sadiq Bey. And Kelly Olynyk, I'll throw him in the conversation too. And again, Beef Stew has had some nice moments along with Josh Jackson, Hamidou Diallo. But yeah, I mean, hasn't been a fun watch, but hopefully Cade comes back soon and it'll make it a little bit more enjoyable, I'll say. But with that, I'll send it to everybody else. Let's start with Eli Bashy, because I know he's got some strong thoughts on on the first three games of the season. So Eli, I got no question for you. Just kind of talk to me about what you've seen from the Pistons through their 0-3 start to the season.
I've seen a team that should be shooting the ball a lot better than 22% from three. Killian Hayes should not be second on the team in three-point percentage, which, I mean...
Is he seriously?
He is. He's behind Trey Lyles, who's shooting 43%. Killian Hayes is shooting 40% from three.
Hey, now.
Which is, like... And then it's Jeremy at 37.5%. And then the next is Sadiq at 22%. So there's a big disparity between the top three-point shooters on the team. I mean, it's only been three games, but yeah, they haven't been shooting the ball well. Defense has looked good. You know, they held Chicago under 100 points twice, which, I mean, for how good Chicago is, that's somewhat impressive, I guess. But then they couldn't match it on the other end. And then the Hawks game was Killian Hayes' best game after, you know, people calling him a bust and stuff because he only had 2 points through the first two games. Killian kind of, you know, I was hoping he would give the haters a day off, and he did.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that. He like, temporarily silenced them. Hopefully he keeps it up. Hopefully guys start knocking down shots when he sets them up, because he should be averaging a lot more than three assists a game. And I think getting Cade back is just going to make everybody better. It's going to take more pressure off Killian. It's going to give Jeremy some help in terms of, like, if we ever have to close a game, we have another guy to go to that we know can get a bucket
We don't just have to rely on Jeremy, which was like really predictable and probably a big reason we lost a bunch of close games last year. I mean, I've liked what I've seen on defense from the team. The offense, I mean, we know how I feel about Dwayne Casey's offense. I don't need to get into that. I don't need to break down plays. They have to be better. They have to execute it better. They're turning the ball over a lot more than they should. Josh Jackson, for every good play he has two bad plays. So, I mean, you don't know which Josh you're getting on what night. Hamidou hasn't done really anything. He's averaging like 3 points a game. He dunked the ball once. Whoop-de-doo. Frank Jackson has been just awful. I think when he goes back to the bench, he'll be a lot better. And then just to be polite and respecting my elders, I will not say anything about Corey Joseph, who's shooting 16% on the season and 13% from three.
Yeah. I'll ask you this. Has the first three games of this season at all altered your opinion on this season? Because you remember, I think it was last week, we talked about the whole over under 24.5 wins for this team, and I think you said you were going to smash the over. Has that at all changed through three games?
No, not for me. I still think they're around a 30-win team once Cade comes back. Without Cade, I still think they're probably 25. You know, around there. But they just need to gel more. Dwayne Casey needs to fix his rotation. He needs to stop playing Corey Joseph for, like, just unbelievable amounts of time without putting Killian Hayes back in. And I hope Cade coming back will make Dwayne have to stagger him and Killian in a way to where Corey is getting much less minutes. Like, you know, you could start the game with Killian and Cade out there, then at like 6 minutes you take one of them out and you let one of them be the point, you know. And I'm hoping that's how he'll do it, and he won't just, like, you know, take Killian out and then put Corey in, which, god, I know he's gonna do that, but I don't know, man. Let's just say there's gonna be a lot of questions for Dwayne once Cade comes back, and if we see Cade standing in the corner, a lot of people are gonna start feeling the same way I feel about Dwayne, and I can't wait to see that happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what actually happens when Cade comes back. Now, the last thing I'll ask you, Eli, and then we'll move on to the other gentleman. You talked about Killian Hayes. I know you've got some strong thoughts on this, so please feel free to get it all out. There's been a lot of talk on Twitter about Killian Hayes in these first three games. It's talk that's frustrated the hell out of us, but talk about it on the pod right now. Just give me your overall thoughts on Killian through these first three games and this whole notion that he's a bust already. I mean, I know your thoughts on it. I know it frustrates you to talk about it and think about it, but just talk about it on the pod for the listeners.
Yeah, so, you know, Killian had a rough start, only had 2 points in his first two games. He's still shooting, like, even after he had a pretty, I would say, okay game. I'm not going to say good because he shot 4 for 11, but he had a much better game than his previous two. He's still shooting 22% on the season or something like that. Still better than Corey Joseph, by the way, Dwayne. Just throwing that out there. 6% better than Corey Joseph. But, you know, Killian, he just looks like a young guy that needs to see some shots go in. And then he just becomes a completely different player. I mean, we saw that against Atlanta. He made that first three, and he just started, like, he once he did that, it's like he just got this swag, and he was like, okay.
Confidence, like, is going up.
Yeah, I'm running the team now. Like, that's it. I'm you know, I'm going to start dying people up. I'm going to start looking for my own shot. That's it. Once he saw the ball go in, it's like a switch flipped. And I think he's just going to be that type of guy until he finally figures it out offensively. So if I was the coaching staff, I would simply run some more pick and rolls for him, you know, run some sets to get him an open jumper, because open jumpers throughout his career have been his highest efficiency shot, despite people saying he can't shoot. When he gets a good look and sets his feet, his shot looks pretty good to me. And, like, anyone with eyes, I'm pretty sure could agree with me. So they just need to, you know, keep boosting his confidence. Stop calling him a bust. He's played 29 games in the NBA. He's 20 years old. I'm pretty sure he might be eligible for Rookie of the Year. Like, I don't understand why you want to be the first person to call someone a bust so badly, especially when they're on your own team. Like, just stop being so miserable. Give guys a year. Give guys a full 82 games. I usually give guys 3 years. People think that's too patient, but when your guy comes into the league, like, you know, 19, can't even drink alcohol, you know, just give a guy some time, especially playing point guard. I've seen a lot of people making the point, oh, Isaiah came in the league at the same age as Killian, and Isaiah looks fine. It is so much easier to play center than it is to play point guard. Like, think about what a point guard's responsibilities are compared to a center. Yeah, Isaiah's pretty good for a 20-year-old center, but what's he doing? He's just running the floor, playing hard, trying to get rebounds, trying to block shots, trying to catch the ball in pick and rolls. A point guard is the floor general, controlling the pace of the game, controlling his teammates, telling them where to go.
Your leader in a way.
Yeah, like, it's so much different. And when you're coming from overseas, a completely different play style, and you have a coach like Dwayne Casey who's, you know, offensively challenged, it's going to be tough for any point guard.
Yeah, I mean, everyone listening knows my thoughts on the whole Killian Hayes thing. I mean, I've been preaching patience for since we drafted him. I've always been saying, you can look up the video. You can look it up. It's the same thing I've always been saying. His defense is going to be there. His playmaking is going to be there. He just needs to work on his scoring, which will take time. But once he gets that scoring down, he's going to be a really, really good player for us. And they just choose to ignore how good of a playmaker and defender he is just because he's struggling to score right now, which I get it. You need to score points to win, but he's so young and he's played so little games. I'm being patient. You do you. I'm being patient. Again, everyone knows my thoughts on this. It'll give me a headache if I talk too much about it. But I will mention this, though. Shout out to Koo. He brought up this point on Twitter. I think it's worth repeating here. You kind of talked about how, and I added on to it, how Killian, in the game against Atlanta on Monday night, once he saw that first couple shots go in, he was getting more confidence in his offensive game. He was getting more aggressive too. That's something Koo brought up. He mentioned how he feels like Killian just needs to see the ball go through the hoop, and that's just really going to help his confidence. Now, Monday night, it absolutely seemed like that. And Eli, you also mentioned how Killian was like 4 of 10, 4 of 11 from the field on Monday night or whatever it was. I'm surprised there hasn't been more people going, oh, he shot 4 of 11. How could he have been so good if he was 4 of 11 or 4 of 10, whatever it was? If you actually watched that game, you would have seen how aggressive he was playing offensively and how his confidence was growing throughout the game and how he was knocking down shots and making plays defensively. Only to get benched in the fourth quarter, but that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, again, everyone knows my thoughts on the whole Killian Hayes thing. I've been patient. I'm going to continue to be patient. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I'll move on to Mike, and then we'll get Jay in here, too. And then we'll save Grant and Tyler for our Michigan State topic to close out the show. But, Mike, I know you haven't been able to watch too much Pistons basketball throughout the first three games of the season because you've been busy with school and work and whatnot. But I still want to hear your opinion as well on all the Killian Hayes talk.
I was obviously able to watch the first game and most of the second game against the Bulls. I mainly wanted to say is just watch the games, because you can tell who's not watching when it comes to Killian, because people on social media make it seem like he's just awful and he can't do anything right. Where what I see is that he does a lot of things right outside of scoring, and he gets really, really good looks that look very clean. It's just, it's such a minor thing I feel like that he can fix that you really do need to give it some time. I've said that before I really make any judgment on him, I'm going to give him a full season, meaning the end of this season is where I'll give, you know, my opinion on him. But I'm just choosing to stay patient with him. And when it comes to Dwayne and Cade, I think that's going to wake a lot of people up about what kind of coach Dwayne is. We saw some of it in the summer league. Now, I know Dwayne wasn't coaching the summer league, but there was a lot of sets where Cade was just standing in the corner. And that worried me because we might see that in the regular season.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. Especially if his first game's on Saturday night and we're there. Oh, that.
Yeah. I might need to be calmed down by you guys if I see Cade standing in the corner.
We might have to like physically calm Eli down.
Some sausage chops. It'll be fine.
Well, hopefully it's open. That kind of varies each night, does it not?
That is true. Right. Chicken tender basket will get the job done.
There we go.
Maybe some elephant ears, Mike. Buy one, get one free.
I love the elephant ear deal, man. I love it.
I can't wait till we get back to Comerica Park and I get to see Mike and Tyler just devour elephant ears once again.
And Justin Verlander and Carlos Correa.
Oh, hey now. But going back to the Pistons here, though. Mike, my last question for you, then we'll move on to Jay. This might be kind of a stupid question with an easy answer, but I still want to ask it, and I want to hear your answer to it. I know you haven't been able to watch too much Pistons basketball this season so far, but when Cade comes back, are you going to try to watch more games? Again, it's an easy answer, but like, are you?
Yes, but mainly I'm going to try to go to some games because that's when I can clear, like, absolutely clear time for it. So I prefer to go there, and I'm already right by there because of Wayne State. So
hey, now
I'll try. I want to at least go to a game soon with Cade playing. I want to see him live. You know.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that is true because Mike isn't going on Saturday night. So we got to go back one more time to see Cade then. There we go. I mean, it can't be anytime soon because I've already spent way too much money on.
Well, I'll be there next Thursday with Scott. That'll be a fun time against the Sixers.
Oh, that is true. Well, we still got to have one more, at least trash talk game with Cade in attendance.
Yeah.
But not anytime soon.
Friend of the pod, Scott.
Yeah, shout out to Scott, our Toledo friends.
He knows how to have a good time at LCA.
Oh. Boo!
That loud boo, that's him.
Oh, yeah, if you hear a loud boo and the other team's at the free throw line, that's our friend Scott.
The loudest one in the building.
Oh, he's always the loudest one in the building, man. Oh, goodness. But, yeah, we gotta get one more trash talk game together then, at least one more with Cade playing. Not anytime soon, though, because I've already spent way too much money on the Pistons. And we got to save up for Red Wing tickets because, oh boy, those tickets, the sales aren't dropping anytime soon. Let's move on to Jay Horn. He'll have the final word on the Pistons, and then we'll move on to Michigan State and get Tyler and Grant in here. Jay, I know your opinion on Killian is completely different than everyone else in this call. So, first of all, give me your take on the Pistons for the first three games of the season. Sadiq Bey, I know he's your boy, just like me. How impressed have you been with, I guess you can say, the new and improved Sadiq Bey through the first three games? And also, I mean, talk to me about Killian, because again, your opinion on him is way different than mine, Eli, Mike's, and everyone else in this call.
First few games, I wasn't really, like, you know, worried because we don't have, like, Kay and everything.
Yeah.
Sadiq, I love – here's my thing with him. I love that he's, like, you know, doing more with just, like, you know, more than, like, two dribbles. Like, he's getting to the cup and doing everything. But, God, man, I miss his threes. I will say that.
He's shooting a lot less threes, yeah.
I know he doesn't want to because maybe he may think his game is too predictable like it was last year maybe by chance. Because he was like a spot-up shooter, 3 and D maybe. close enough, possibly
no, yeah,
not.
Yeah.
But I wish he would shoot maybe like 3 or 4 threes a game, maybe, yeah, something like that. But besides that, though, I'm pretty impressed. He's averaging like 20 and like, what is it? Or 18 and like 10 right now, I think.
I so haven't seen the exact stats, yeah. But yeah.
I'm pretty good with that. Killian, here's my take on him. Defensive like monster. Like he has the potential to be like a great defensive point guard, but he's giving me like Rajon Rondo vibes right now. And which is okay because Rondo didn't really score that much, you know, but Killian has a little bit more offensive upside than Rondo, I would say, when he were like younger and everything. So if he does get like that confidence, he'll be, you know, 14 and like 8 maybe. I don't know. 15 and 9 if he, you know, does that well. But I love his defense. I made that known multiple times in summer league. I'm cool with the defense, but he just has to learn how to, you know, get that chip off his shoulder and score. And like Eli said, Dwayne Casey can't coach offense for crap. And I'll say that uncensored, whatever, I don't care. He can't coach offense to save his life. So I think it's much harder for Killian to even get a chance to take that step and get that chip off his shoulder when your coach is strictly, you know, against offense. It looks like for real. So I don't know.
We'll have a Dwayne Casey conversation down the road if we need to. It definitely seems like after Monday night, seeing Killian get benched for the entire fourth quarter, it definitely seems like more and more people are starting to be like, okay, is Dwayne Casey actually going to be the long-term guy for us? Definitely seems like some people are coming on to that. I don't know. We'll have that conversation again later down the line if we need to. If Cade stands in the corner, we'll definitely have that conversation. Maybe no, as soon 100%. As next week.
Well, shout out to my MVP guy, too. I tell you, he's great, but golly,
Trey Lyles.
Sometimes he just no.
Josh Jackson,
Trey's whatever. He's fine with me for now. But Josh Jackson, man, I love what he does, but it's like if one thing goes bad, he just gets to, you know, blacking out and does whatever. So once he can get, you know, more calm in game situations, man, he'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, Josh has had his moments in the first three games, and I guess Trey Lyles,
a lot of blocks.
Too. Yeah, I mean, offensively and defensively, Josh has had some moments, and, you know, Jay's other boy, Trey Lyles.
He had a couple of dunks in opening night.
He's knocking down threes, and particularly in game 2 against the Bulls in Chicago, he was the reason the Pistons made that quote-unquote late comeback attempt. I mean, he was kind of the enforcer in that comeback. He's been all right. He's been all right, but, like, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to go crazy over it, you know? Nonetheless, though, you know, at least Jay admitted that Killian's defense is nice. His playmaking to an extent, too. I mean, I've always said this with Killian, going back to what I said previously. The scoring, I really feel like, is going to come. It's just going to take time. That's why I'm being patient with Killian. Just give it time. Hopefully he builds up more confidence. Hopefully he actually plays in the fourth quarter at some point this year.
All point guards don't have to average 25 and up, by the way, for all you people listening here.
No.
He can average 15, 6, and like 9 and be one of the best point guards ever. But hey,
I mean, would you think people would be happy if he turned into something similar to what Lonzo is right now?
No, they need him to be like a superstar. I feel like they're not gonna be satisfied any other way.
They'd hate that if, you know, he gave them 12, 8, and 6, and, you know, maybe a ring down the line.
Like,
they'll say he won't score as much.
Tony, you told me you need a triple double, 25% of his games, which I think personally, that's going to be what he is at his peak.
I take that.
Lonzo.
I agree.
I would take it.
I would take that.
Others would probably be like, Tony, you told me to be patient for a guy who only averages 12 a game. It's like, I can see it now.
If it's an efficient 12 with like 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, which he's probably going to be averaging a lot of steals in his career. This dude is everywhere defensively.
Yeah. And I had people yesterday telling me, oh, Trae Young cooked him for 32. Trae Young cooked Corey Joseph.
It was mostly Corey Joseph. Like, again, if you watch the game, if you watch that game on Monday night, you would have seen that the Pistons were keeping it close through three quarters. And then when Killian got benched for Corey Joseph with like 4:30 to go in the third quarter or whatever it was, that's when the Hawks just went bonkers. And they really didn't look back. I was with Corey Joseph on the floor. But whatever. Whatever. All right, moving away from the Pistons, so let's move on to football to close out the show today. We'll get to Michigan State in a second here. I just remembered before we recorded, Eli told me he wanted to spend like 2 minutes talking about Dan Campbell. I'll give you those 2 minutes, but keep it brief because it is Wednesday, you know? So keep it brief. Talk about Dan Campbell. What do you want to say? And if you mention Jared Goff.
No. Okay. I will just say one thing about Jared Goff.
Oh!
If he was better, Lions might have been able to win that game. But other than
I think they would.
It's not me.
Tyler, Tyler, let's say it together. I think they win if...
two fake punts, onside kick, and you win 3 for 3 and you lose the game. That's pretty tough.
Man, I wanted to address all that stuff. Dan Campbell... He has the most respect out of any Lions coach that I've ever witnessed personally. He has all my respect. He's 0-7, and I think this dude is the best coach of the Lions I've ever seen. Like, the amount of passion you have to have for the game of football to pull out the things that the Lions pulled out against the Rams, it's like, it's unbelievable. Like, they played like they had nothing to lose, and they don't have anything to lose.
Literally.
I loved it. It was the most fun I've had watching a Lions game in so long. I just enjoyed it so much. The players are still playing so hard for him. I've never seen an 0-6 team play so hard for a coach. And I just want him to get his first win so bad.
Yeah.
Because I want these guys to keep playing hard for him. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll need a win eventually to, you know, keep reinvigorating them. But I mean, I'm not going to sip the Kool-Aid that much. But Dan Campbell, if he gets a team with some talent, I cannot wait to see what that's going to look like.
Yeah, we've talked about this on the show before, but I am really excited to see the reaction from Dan and the locker room after the Lions get that first win. I know we're trying to get the number one pick over here. Come on, Thibodeau. I get it. I completely get it. But I mentioned this in my video on Sunday after the loss to the Rams. With the way this team is fighting for Dan Campbell, I really don't think they are going to go 0-17. I feel like they are eventually going to get that first win. And again, I know tank for Tibbs or whatever the phrase might be for Kevon Thibodeau, the Oregon pass rusher. But I think they are eventually going to get a win this year. I have no idea when. I think I have an idea. I'm just going to say I'm going to have Thanksgiving circled against the Bears. That's all I'm going to say. I have Thanksgiving against the Bears circled. That's all I'll say. But anyway... Yes, I agree with you, Eli. I very much enjoy the 0-7 Dan Campbell Detroit Lions. They're not getting blown out, and they did not get blown out on Sunday against the Rams. It was a win-win for me. I mean, the Lions were competitive. They lost. Stafford won. Had some nice numbers. It was a decent Sunday. A lot better than what I thought it was going to be. With a spread of 16.5 for the Rams. Yeah, I thought that game was going to go a lot worse than what it did. So, yeah, hopefully Dan gets that first win soon because, like I've said, I would love to see not only Dan, but the locker room reaction too. Especially if it happens sooner rather than later. I feel like it could be electric when Dan gets that first win. Until then, though, we'll just have to wait and see if they get that first win this year. Moving on to our final topic today, though, Michigan State. 7-0, 7-0. Number 6, Michigan. Number 8, Michigan State. Noon on Fox, Mike's favorite. Big noon kickoff. Gus Johnson, Joel Klatt, and Jenny Taft. Oh, it's going to be a really good game. And it is Michigan-Michigan State week. Twitter's already buzzing. It's been buzzing since Sunday, honestly. It's only going to get worse as we get closer to noon on Saturday. So let's just keep it simple. We'll go around the room and give our picks for the game, I guess. So let's start with Tyler. The spread right now is Michigan minus 4.5. They're 4.5-point favorites going into East Lansing on Saturday. Tyler, I know you're kind of a... I know you will support both, but I also know that you are more of a Michigan fan. So honestly, give me your honest, non-biased pick for this game.
Yeah, you know, I've grown into more of a Michigan State fan, but you know, I lean more Michigan than Michigan State. But overall, I just enjoy Michigan State football as well. So my non-biased answer, I think it's going to be a hell of a game. I really do. And East Lansing, I still hate that it's a new game, but that it is a new game. It gave us the opportunity to go to a Pistons game. So I was just about to say,
I love that it's a new game.
So I guess I can't complain too much. So, but overall, I mean, this is going to be a hell of a battle. I think, Tony, from all your Michigan-Michigan State games years previous, could you agree this might be the most hyped Michigan-Michigan State game we have ever, like, are going to witness, like, pregame, like, you know, before the game has actually started?
Yeah.
I think this is the most anticipated Michigan-Michigan State game ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's amazing.
As long as I've been alive, yeah. Yes. I would say this is the most anticipated I've been for a Michigan-Michigan State game. I mean, you always kind of get up for this game, if you will.
Oh, but for sure.
In previous years, you know, since the Connor Cook days, it's been more of like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes Michigan State did pull it out, but still, you'd go into that game, I'd be like, all right, here we go. But this weekend, though, I'm going to wake up on Saturday, and I'm going to be uncontrollable.
Like, I'm not even saying like that there hasn't been matchups in the previous years where like we thought it's going to be a dogfight, but this is a 2 top 10 matchup. I don't think that's ever happened since like the 1960s of Michigan State.
Last time I think was 2010.
Oh, was this recent? Or they were both?
I think
top
that might have been undefeated. Actually,
undefeated. Yeah, yeah.
The last undefeated matchup was 2010. I don't know about top ten.
I think top ten. I think I checked. It was 1964 was the last time.
Jeez.
So I mean, obviously, highly thought of game. I think the whole country is going to be, you know, engaged in this game as well, not just, you know, the state of Michigan. So, okay, you asked me what I think is going to happen prediction-wise. I'm going to take Michigan to win this game, and I think they cover the spread. I think it's going to be a typical Big Ten game, and I think the better defense comes out. And I think that is Michigan's defense. I like Michigan State's defense. I think they're, you know, a chippy team. They're a smart team. But I think as far as talent-wise, I think Michigan just has – more talent on defense. Offensively, I would say Michigan State's offense is better than Michigan's offense as far as a passing game, and I would even go as far as Peyton Thorne is probably better than the quarterback of Cade McNamara. But I just think Michigan's defense is the best unit in this overall game. When you combine Michigan State's offense, Michigan's offense, you put it all together, I think Michigan's defense is the strength of this game. And I think when it comes down to a game like this, big rivalry, a lot of, you know, everyone's hot, everyone's ready to go, I think the best defense is end up going to win in this game. So I'll go 24-17 Michigan. It's going to be an absolute dogfight. I'm so excited for this Saturday.
Let's move on to Grant Richards. Grant, you're a Michigan fan, so I don't know if you're going to give me a biased opinion or not, but same question to you. What's your prediction for this game? Who's coming out on top?
I tend to do my best to keep things unbiased when it comes to this. If I had to bet right now, I'd take State to cover, Michigan money line, and the under. I very echoing of what Tyler was saying, I like Michigan's defense more than State's defense, and I think State's offense is definitely something to watch out for. They've had the ability to put up numbers on teams, and they've done it at times. I think they're going to get pretty burned out through the Michigan running attack. I mean, if they can slow down Michigan on the run, I don't trust Cade McNamara in this game. So, I mean, it's a lot of hypotheticals, but I don't think a lot of points are scored in this game. I'm sitting 20-17. Like I said, State covers, Michigan wins. And, I mean, if State wins this game, it's not going to be like last season where it was kind of one of those, oh, my God, did that just happen type things. It's going to be, yeah. I mean, these are both two undefeated teams. They've put up with a lot of struggles, a couple close calls for each team. Everyone, they've done what they've needed to do. And it's even as a Michigan homer, whatever, half my family went there. It's disappointing that somebody has to lose this game because both teams are having phenomenal seasons. I hope everybody has fun. No,
final he answer. He somehow I squeezed wins. It in. That's Grant's thing. I hope both teams have fun.
I do, but I just want to touch on the pregame, the electricity, the chippiness. I was at that Michigan State game at State where Devin Bush carved up State's logo at midfield. Mm. So that was some of the most electric play before the game that I've seen. And Twitter beefing is fun, but I want to see the players get involved. I want to see this get chippy.
Michigan State games always kind of get chippy, but this year specifically, ooh.
Yeah. Yes, this year I think this is going to be a chippy year. This is going to be fun.
Top 10 matchup, undefeated. Like, yeah. And we're in a year where, believe it or not, Michigan and Michigan State are both still legitimate threats in the Big Ten right now. I mean, we'll see what happens later on in the season. Ohio State's kind of cooking right now, as we all expected. But as of now, they're both still in the race. So a win is going to mean so much, and a loss is going to mean so much for both of these teams.
But yeah. I'm sorry, Tony, is Ohio State undefeated?
They're not, no.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
No. Just making neither, sure. Neither is Alabama, Mike. Neither is Iowa or Penn State.
Don't worry about Alabama when they win out and win it all. Don't worry.
They are not winning out. I think Georgia might be the better team, but that's neither here nor there.
Georgia by 10.
Oh. As for Michigan State, yeah, it's going to be chippiness for sure in this game. And I'm excited. I'm really, really excited for Saturday. Eli, I know you care so much about this game. You want to give me your quick prediction?
You know, I think it's going to be a really chippy game. I think both teams are going to play hard. I think both teams, it's going to be one of the best Michigan State games we've ever had, I think.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the game, one of those two teams is going to walk away the winner of that game.
Eli, are you ready? Eli, are you ready to tweet that? Because that is the most controversial thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Eli sounds like he's about to sleep talking about this game.
I predict both teams will have a great time.
Hell yeah.
I mean, Eli goes, oh, I think the game will be really chippy. I think it's going to be a great game.
I was waiting for more, and then more never came.
And someone will walk out victorious.
I'm like,
someone
what?
Will walk away from this game a winner.
Someone will win.
Please give me 10 overtimes. I'm joking. I'm joking. We don't need another
Illinois.
No, we do not. We do not need another Penn State Illinois. All right. I'm for sure skipping Mike. I'm not even going to ask him about his prediction. I know for a fact he does not care enough.
Oh, I got State, by the way, but that's not
a okay, never mind, Mike. I'm sorry. Okay, you can talk. You can talk, Mike. You can talk.
He's going to turn his opinion. I can already
Michigan
tell you.
Always chokes, man.
Always,
that's when it's going to come against State.
Harbaugh always jokes. Nothing's going to change with it. Harbaugh.
Okay, Mike, I'm sorry for doubting you. I like that pick. As for me, who am I taking? Hey, bias, no bias, I don't care. You can say what you want to say. I'm taking Michigan State +4.5, and I'm taking them to win that game. I agree with Tyler that Michigan has the better defense, and I think they have the best overall player on the field on their team in Aiden Hutchinson. I think he's the best player.
Oh, I thought it was Cade McNamara.
No, okay. Thank you, Grant. Aiden Hutchinson, I think, is the best player in this game on both sides. I will give Michigan that, but I think Michigan State is going to this game with the better quarterback. I think they're going into this game with more playmakers on offense and guys like Kenneth Walker and Jaden Reed, Speedy Naylor. Yeah, I think they have more playmakers than Michigan does. And I think, most importantly, they have the better coach in Mel Tucker.
Ooh.
Oh, don't say ooh like that. Some hot take. Mel Tucker is the better head coach.
I mean, Jim Harbaugh is having a good. He's having a good year. Having a good year.
Have you seen 49ers Twitter comments? Man,
Jim Harbaugh is 1-0 as a road dog this year against a ranked team.
Mel Tucker is 1-0 against Jim Harbaugh. He's going to get one more win before he leaves us for LSU.
No, Tony, stop living in the past.
Do you guys have any clue? Are 49ers fans for real about wanting Jim Harbaugh back?
Have they ever watched Michigan? No. They're not. No, they're not being serious. Kyle Shanahan is going absolutely nowhere. But I am taking Michigan State in that game. I'm taking Michigan State plus 4.5. I'm taking Michigan State to win flat out. I think they have the better coach, better quarterback, more playmakers on offense. Even though Michigan has the best player overall and the better defense, I'm taking Michigan State to win that game. Jay left. I would ask him what his opinion is, but he left.
I was wondering what he was.
He left. he said his I think his AirPods died, so he had to he had to go. But yeah.
Tony, can I say one last thing?
Of course you can. Real quick. Yes.
Coming from someone who's been watching Michigan for as long as I can remember, it's just we're just at this point where I have no faith going into big games. Like, I'm going to be straight up. I just don't. Like, I think Michigan should win this game based on, like, a majority of their defense and their roster and their run game and all that. But I can't, like, bang my chest and be like, Michigan is going to roll. Like, there's just no – like, I've been hurt so many times before. I'm like, I just, that's just where I truly stand. Like, my money's going to Michigan to win, but my heart is just scared, very scared.
Well, I think we could agree that, like, I think personnel, you could throw that out the window for this type of game. It's not like personnel is one thing, but it's going to come out who has higher intensity, who's ready to go for this game, and you know, who's more well-prepared. I take out personnel in these big rivalry games. It's just, there's too many emotions going on for, you know, to think that this guy's better than you. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's going to be a hell of a game to watch this Saturday for sure.
No, it absolutely will be. And I'm excited. Saturday is going to be a good day. We got Michigan State, going to the Pistons game afterwards. Oh, the Red Wings play that night too against Toronto. Oh, it's going
to
be a good
night. Oh, great. We get to do a post-game Red Wings video LC. I can't wait. I was like, no, I'm being legit. I am actually excited. The Wings have been fun. We didn't talk about them in this episode.
Yeah, we don't have enough time, but
I know, but they've been fun.
We'll have to carve out a segment in the future because they have been a lot of fun. And they've got two legitimate rookie superstars in Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider. So, yeah.
Just wait till they beat the Capitals tomorrow.
Look at Eli, look at the schedule. All
right.
4-2, baby.
But did they beat Montreal?
Shut up. We swept them in 2019, 2020. That's all that matters. We didn't have Tyler Bertuzzi in that game, man. It's all right.
Oh, there we go.
Well,
that makes sense.
Well, one thing I'll say really quickly, just as far as Detroit sports and Michigan sports, like, this is an exciting time. Like, you got Cade Cunningham coming back very soon for the Pistons. The Red Wings are a very fun team to watch with their young talent. And then you got this showdown this Saturday, Michigan State, and whoever wins, you know, there's a legitimate chance if, you know, they could play their schedule out, you could maybe go to Indianapolis this year. Like, that's actually, like, in the realm of conversation this year, like, a legitimate conversation. So, I mean, you know, the fall and winter that we have prepared coming up, I mean, it's exciting times right now in Michigan.
I think that's a good way to wrap up today's show. Thank you, Tyler. That's a good way to wrap up today's show. All right, boys. Good show this week, as always. Thank you all so much for listening. For my entire crew, my name's Tony Nabrowski. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you all soon.